The saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. The instruction of the Old Testament has been clear. The instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ has been clear. How much clearer could he be? He calls them forth to see, to look, to behold. This is what's going to happen. But they don't get it. Why? All that it says is that it was hidden from them. Who hid it? What hid it? Why? Inquiring minds would like to know. Well, is it God that's keeping it hidden from them? Perhaps, maybe it's not for them to know at this particular time. Just leaves it like that. Okay. Perhaps it's themselves. It's hidden from them. Their brains are just, their skulls are just too thick, right? They've often, too often, they've gone by what their eyes see. And isn't that the way it works with us here below? Try to walk by sight rather than by faith. We see Eliab marched in front of us, and we think, surely that's the king. Look at how tall he is, right? And we go, no, I mean, of course this is the king, and God says what? Hey, don't look on his appearance or the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. See? Get it? Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And then Jesus drew near to Jericho. A blind man is sitting by the roadside begging. And you go, why are we mashing these two up? Why can't we just focus in on, we're about to enter into Lent, there's this passion prediction, and now we're off into this healing of a blind man? Well, what just happened? Jesus was plain as day and said, see, this is what's going to happen, and they can't figure it out. They're blind. But here, you have a blind beggar sitting by a roadside. Can't see a thing. And where does he draw near to, by the way? Jericho. Those walls that came a tumbling down, right? The city that was never supposed to be rebuilt. I guess it was, right? And Jesus himself even goes near to a city that he said never should have been rebuilt in the first place, right? But Jericho on the mind, what do we think of? Those walls coming tumbling down. We think of the first Joshua who crossed over the Jordan, and what was the first city to fall? Jericho. And so Jesus is on the march going to Jerusalem, first stop Jericho, and he shows us forth that he is the one who has come as the victor in the fight, the champion in the battle against the real enemies of sin, death, and hell. You kind of see that in verse 36 where it's not only Jesus who draws near to Jericho and there's this soul blind man, but in verse 36, and hearing a crowd going by, it's like he's got the army with him. Why don't we just give him some trumpets and tell him to blow, right? A blind man sitting by the roadside begging. No sight, no status. But he can hear. He can hear the word. Hearing the crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. His sense of hearing is A-okay. And so he asked the basic question, what does this mean? What's going on? What's the meaning of all this? And what do they tell him? Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Jesus is here, is what they say. And what does he cry out? Oh, Jesus of Nazareth? No, he kind of shows that he understands a little bit. That even though he's a blind beggar, he's the one who's got the sight. He says, Jesus, Son of David. Not Jesus of Nazareth here. Jesus, Son of David. The fulfillment. The Messiah. Have mercy on me, King. Jesus is here. Faith trusts. That's what it is. It believes who Jesus is. and what he has come to do. He himself said it earlier in the sermon at Nazareth, right? Where he was rejected, right? He said he had come to set the captives free, recovery of sight to the blind. And so he says, give me your gifts. Have mercy on me, this blind beggar. And those who are in front, you know, I mean, think of that. He looks to Jesus, even though he can't see a thing, right? He's just crying out. He doesn't, I mean, maybe his ears are attuned and he can tell where the crowd is, but he doesn't know where Jesus is in the midst of this crowd, so he's just shouting out. And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. What does the crowd say? Does the crowd say, oh, this is wonderful. We've seen this Jesus do so many miracles. This is great. Hey, let's bring in another. This will be another sign that we can trust in or something. No. The crowd says, be quiet. Silence him. Right? Get those kids away from Jesus. Right? What does the world do with Christians? And when faith cries out and says, let's look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Let's cry out to him. Let's pray to him. Have mercy. What does the world do? Be quiet. And what do we sometimes do ourselves? We silence ourselves because we know it's not culturally appropriate. Right? Why? Why does the world say, be quiet? Are they annoyed? Pestered by this talk of Jesus as the Messiah? Why? When faith cries out, is it because we just don't want anything to do with Jesus? We just rather rule ourselves, take care of it ourselves? After all, that's what gets things done. It's the green paper that'll get it accomplished, right? Or is it God? So often the world would have religion just simply be about works. Get your instructions from whatever book you pick, fine. But just be a good person, that's what matters. Rather than all this crying out for mercy from only one, Jesus. The blind man, though, tell me to be quiet? Okay, I'll shout all the more. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He can't stop looking to Jesus. He sees better, not that it's, you know, in him, by the way. He's completely reliant upon Jesus. He's got nothing of himself, and the world isn't helping him out. The world's just kicking him to the curb. And then what happens? Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. What a verse. I mean, you go, okay, well, this is just telling the facts of the story. But what a verse. Certainly it's saying monergism, right? That this is not simply that, oh, you do some little things and come to Jesus and then Jesus will meet you halfway, like he's singing the old Kenny Loggins song, right? Meet me halfway, right across the sky. It's an obscure reference, admittedly. Testing your depth of Kenny Loggins' knowledge, okay? Goes beyond Top Gun, folks, okay? All right, so certainly it's monergism, that nothing happens for this blind beggar unless Jesus stops and says, bring him. Bring him. He's mine. Nothing happens. Now, hold on a second, though. Put yourself in the blind beggar's shoes. Hey, meet your maker. Whoa. A lot of people hear that and they go, I'm a little terrified right now, right? And sometimes we even say that as a threat. You ready to meet your maker, right? You better be with how my attitude towards you or something, right? Okay, no. Meet your maker. That can be a terrifying word, a terrifying experience. Unholy in the presence of the holy? What's going to happen there? But think about being called from the back table to say, hey, come and sit at the head table. The king has called you forward. I mean, think Jesus, the Lord Almighty, stopped and said, "Come here. Bring him to me." Don't you think he hasn't done that for you in your life? That he hasn't ordered things so that you would hear the word? That he hasn't commanded, "Hold up, whoa horse, bring these to me"? It has happened through the word, and thanks be to God. How can you not help but rejoice, even weep for joy with this blind beggar? And then Jesus, you know, when he comes near, not Jesus, but the blind beggar comes near to Jesus, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" What do you want? What a question. What a question that the Lord asks you and I today. What do you want? What do you want? And what are our answers to that question? Part of me is suspicious. We haven't even thought that the Lord Jesus would condescend to the level to ask us that. And so we haven't bothered him. You know, I mean, okay, there are some things where we may say in our minds, this is petty. Why should I bother God with this? He's got bigger fish to fry. Got a whole world to run. You worried about money? What do you want? Yeah? You worried about what's going to happen next year? You worried about an election? You worried about what the other side of the aisle is doing? You worried about inflation? I don't know. You watch the news. You know? What do you want? Bother me with the petty things. Go for it. Right? And it's okay also to ask big too. You know? Those deep and aching hurts in our lives, those holes, those griefs that we bear. What do you want? Think about Jesus asking you that today. And don't just, I mean, have an answer for him. It's okay. Right? Jesus said, there's too many he's here. I got to keep them straight. The beggar says, "Lord, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Let me see, God. You know, I've been blind for a while now, and I'm a beggar. But Jesus spoke, and so it is, that sight is given to the blind. The disciples, with all of their seeing, couldn't see Jesus for who he was. And how wonderful it is that this particular healing happens right on the fore of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Now, we might ask this, is faith our work? Since faith alone is highlighted on that bulletin, we might as well talk about it. No. I'm not sure who said it, but it's wise words. When you see the word faith, simply replace the word faith with Jesus. It's wise. Too often we turn faith into our work. We say, it's his faith who made him. I wish I had faith like that blind beggar. I don't have faith like that. My faith is so weak. Or I wish I had faith like that person over there that, you know, is able to sit so close to the front of the church. You holy ones, right? I just can't do that. I've got kids and I got to be able to bail, right? You're welcome. Hold on a second. Replace the word faith with Jesus. We're looking in the wrong place. The disciples didn't get it. It's kept from their eyes. They couldn't see it, right? If it was up to Samuel, he would have been like, "Eliab, you're the man." Right? But no, we've got David. And even though he's handsome, didn't matter. The Lord saw his heart. Right? And the Lord put his spirit upon him. You know, the Lord sees you. Doesn't matter what you look like. Ruddy, handsome, pretty, good looking, not. Who cares? The Lord knows you, and he stopped and he said, "You're mine. Jesus has made you well. Your faith has made you well. Your Jesus has made you well. Because then we're not talking about faith. We're not turned inward on our belly buttons or looking at our heart and saying, do I have faith or do I not? I see a lot of disgusting, evil thoughts, words, and deeds. Hold on a second. What's faith doing? It's looking in the wrong spot. Look at Jesus. And so that's why I just do it. Just say, your Jesus has made you well. Right? And he recovered his sight. And he followed Jesus. And this is not a mere wrap-up, by the way. Okay, whatever. Brush him to the side. We got to get on to writing the next story. He followed Jesus. And where was Jesus going? See, the Son of Man is going where? To Jerusalem. So who's traipsing along in the crowd now? The blind beggar. Bartimaeus or Bartimaeus's buddy, right? He lays down a palm branch. Hosanna to the Son of David, right? And then he hastens, you know, maybe follows to the judgment hall. Might sing, go to dark Gethsemane a week early, right? Isn't that how it goes? The people saw it. Maybe they praised Jesus simply for the signs. But the blind beggar follows, and what does he see? He sees Jerusalem, the temple. He sees everything written about the Messiah accomplished as the Messiah is hung upon the cross. See, the sight miracle happens in all the synoptics, and you can even count John 9. There's always a sight miracle before the entry into Jerusalem. What do you think's happening there, guys? Look. Look and see your king, your crucified king. See the prophet, the crucified king, the Messiah, delivered to the Gentiles, mocked, shamefully treated, spit upon, flogged, killed, and risen. Right? That's faith. So we're not going to sit here and talk about our faith. We're going to sit here and talk about our Jesus. And where faith is going to just be clinging and just looking in the right place then. So don't go by outward appearances in this earthly life. Don't go by works or turn your faith into your own work. Look constantly to Christ, who passes by you today in word and sacrament to show you mercy, totally reliant upon Him and His work for us blind beggars. That's where we are. Totally reliant upon Him. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Amen.